What's up and welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, June 23rd, 2023, the day of our hog, Blessing.
The day of our hog.
The day of our hog,
everyone. To the boy Sonic.
Mm-hmm.
Happy birthday.
Show some respect to everybody.
Happy 30th. The big 3-0.
Yeah.
Man, does it feel like he's that old?
You know, it does feel old because or young? I'm that old. Like, what's really wild about Sonic the Hedgehog, mm-hmm. right, is we're coming up, or today is his 30th birthday, and I'm wearing the bomber jacket that celebrated his 25th birthday. And I recently tweeted out a picture of a poster that I had in my bedroom that I loved dearly, that I miss very much. I'm going to try to convince Gia to let us put it up in every room of our house now, that celebrated his 10th birthday for Sonic Adventure 2. And I'm just like, damn, I've really been on this ride with this little blue hog. You know what I mean? Dude,
I know exactly what you mean. We were just talking about it right before this, where Sonic the Hedgehog, only a year older than me, which I never really thought about, I never really realized, but I think when I think about it, it makes sense for the fact that, like, I think I came up at the perfect time for Sonic hype. You know, there's Pokemon Mania.
Yeah.
There's Mario Mania.
Yeah.
I came at the right time for Sonic Mania, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sonic Mania.
Fantastic.
Exactly. Stuff. I mean, what's fun there is I also did, because I am 2 years older than my boy Sonic. So that was, like, kind of perfect. I had to grow up with the multitude of cartoons that this little dude and his friends had. Right? And we had some bangers in the 90s.
Yeah.
We had some okay ones as well. But we had some bangers.
That's the same for the games.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Actually, I guess that is true in the 90s too.
Oh, yeah.
3D Blast. Not so great. Mm-hmm. Not so great. But overall, what a time, man. I feel like Sonic is thriving, doing better than ever. Definitely more collaborations than ever.
Oh, my God.
I don't know why I said the word that way.
No corroboration. But, like, I mean, it's our story number two. Maybe I should move to story number one, but, like, the fact that we're watching Sonic Central, right, the yearly anniversary stream that they do to celebrate and talk about all the collaborations, announcements, all that stuff, and we're looking at chat, and chat is so positive, and chat is so, like, hype about the weirdest, most random collaborations. Oh, there's Sonic Lego shit going on. Oh, let's fucking go. Like, people are so excited. There's a Sonic cooler. Oh, that cooler,
like,
looks dope as fuck.
A cooler. Like, an ice cream. Like, what are you talking about? The chat is popping off. It is such a beautiful, positive thing to see. It's
weird
as hell.
It's so weird.
But you know what, Bless? Me and you were there, too.
Yeah, I was in chat like, oh, let's fucking go. Tell me more about the Lego Sonic appearing in Sonic Superstars for some reason. I don't know why, but sure, I'll take it. That seems cool, yeah.
Yeah, anyways, it's so funny. I'm really excited for Superstars coming out later this year as well. So,
you know what I'm excited about? It's Sonic's birthday.
Yeah.
And of course, I feel like with Sonic Day, something special has to happen every single year.
Of course.
And there's something that happened this year, Tim, that you're not aware about yet.
Oh.
Unless you are.
I'm not aware. Just one last thing I want to say.
I love that
there's something in the air about this. Your birthday, July 2nd. Yes. My birthday, June 30th. Sonic's birthday, June 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
There's like something about this, like, 10-day period. You know what I mean?
Are you a Cancer?
I am a Cancer.
Is Sonic,
we're all Cancers.
Is Sonic a Cancer? Does that line up?
Yeah.
He might be on the, like... That might be it. You know, it might be an astrological thing.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, we're all just connected via the space.
I hate this.
Barrett, I dropped a video in Assets. It's the Twitter video. Somebody on Twitter tweeted at us with a video. And at first, I started watching this video, and I was like, oh, okay, what is this? Like, a fan's tweeting us the thing. But it turns out to be much more than that. So, Barrett, if you can prep the video and show it to Tim.
Hey, Tim. Hey, Blessing.
Wait,
this
what?
Is Johnny from Crush 40. Do you know me? Do you know me?
Yes,
well,
I do.
I know you. I wanted to take a minute and congratulate you and the entire crew of Kinda Funny for your incredible success. The new studio. I'm watching you guys. I have my eye on you. I just wanted to say hello. Wish you guys well. I want to come visit you and sit and talk and hang out. I hope you're well. Kick ass. Thanks for being Sonic fans and Crush fans. See you soon. Let's get together.
Fuck yeah, dude. Fuck yeah.
What the hell just happened?
When I tell you...
That is the man that sings Escape from the Fucking City!
When I tell you that I started this video and I was like, oh, a fan, like, paid for a cameo. Like, I thought it was a cameo until he started talking more and I was like, oh, he legitimately is talking to us. This is fucking wild. This is the best Sonic birthday ever.
What the hell?
Yeah.
What the hell?
Also, the answer is yes. Come through, please.
Come through. You know, I have a perfect date for him to come through.
Yeah?
January 6th. You know why?
Why?
Though Sonic Orchestra is coming to San Francisco.
Oh, see, you're gonna say kind of funny's anniversary or something.
No.
Yeah, no, that'd be incredible.
Yeah.
I also thought you were gonna say your birthday because that's happening what, like a week? Yeah.
June 30th. Yeah. But I mean, he'll be here. He'll be in San Francisco. Yeah. I imagine that. I don't know why.
Also, January 6th yeah. is such a wild date.
I know.
You said it, and I was like,
I did it for dramatic effect.
God,
this is a Friday. Boss.
Yeah, what a way to start.
Hold on,
the day.
That was crazy. I need a moment to like reset.
Yeah,
did that really just happen?
Yeah.
What
my
the
God,
fuck, man?
I've been listening to that man's voice for decades.
Yeah, for decades.
Escape from the City, Sonic Heroes.
That was his 10th anniversary. His 10th birthday.
Like, hell yeah! Please come through the studio. Please hang out. What we got to do is like we got to do a stream, like a Twitch. Like Sonic stream.
Oh yeah.
Right? Do like a marathon
Sonic Adventure
stream or something. We got to take a Sonic Adventure with Crush 40.
Holy crap, man. Hey, that is really damn cool.
Thank you so much for that.
Well, hey, thank you so much for that. That is awesome. Today's stories include E3 possibly being canceled for the next 2 years, Sonic Central updates, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through all the video game news that you need to know. Of course, if you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listen later on podcast services around the globe. Remember, you can use our Epic creator code kindoffunny when you're shopping on the Epic Game Store. Even buying free games, just putting our code in, it helps give us money at no cost to you. It's really cool. To be part of the show, you can head to kindoffunny.com/KFGD to write in with your questions, squad ups, and more. And remember, patreon.com/kindoffunny will get you the show ad-free, plus a bevy of bonus content.
Here's one I want to call out to.
Please do. Right?
There's somebody in the chat that's like, man, Sonic fans or something else, and y'all say Kingdom Hearts fans are bad. Let me tell you, if Utada Hikaru hit you up and was like, I've been watching you, I love what you do, I want to come and hang out with you, you would implode. You wouldn't be able to live on this planet anymore because you wouldn't be able to believe that you're in reality, all right? That's what just happened to us. Tim.
Yeah.
That's what just happened to us.
You're right.
It's cool as fuck.
It is.
We're gonna
cool
celebrate it.
And you know what? Hey, there's some people out there that are Sonic fans and Kingdom Hearts fans.
Oh yeah.
Deal with that.
Like this
all
guy.
Right? Like this guy. Okay. Oh my lord. A new PSN Love You XOXO is up right now, and the crew's breaking down PlayStation's multiplayer plan and Blessing's video about it. You can check that out now on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. I love it. I absolutely love it. Bless put out a banger episode of The Blessing Show that everybody should go watch. It's only 8 minutes. It's a very condensed 8 minutes of a great editorial take on your thoughts on PlayStation's multiplayer strategy thus far, what you predict the future to be of it, and all of that. And then you got a lot of feedback and comments of people that didn't agree with you. Some people agreed with you. Then y'all took that conversation to PSI Love You. How did it go?
It went well. Like, I think it was a really good conversation. I think by the time we got to the end of the episode, I think all of us were very happy with how the discussion went.
It was so good. Like, Greg forgot to toss to ads, and I had to slag and be like, hey, I think we need to toss to ads. And that's like, because they were all getting lost in the conversation. It was a really good one.
Yeah, I highly recommend it. Of course, you know, Janet and Greg are bringing their opinion to the topic, and then the whole episode, we're bringing in audience write-ins to talk about what you guys think about PlayStation and their live service thing and the multiplayer stuff and like people's thoughts and opinions about the video I made about it. And so yeah, definitely go check out. I think it's a must listen episode of PS Love You XOXO.
I love it. And then over on Patreon, there's a new episode of Remember Blank featuring me talking about memories of Final Fantasy with Bless and Greg. It was a good one. A lot of great writings from the audience as well. Some really, really fun stories. Final Fantasy, turns out people have a lot of memories about it.
Oh yeah.
And a lot of different favorites of them. But my favorite thing is the amount of memories of a collective, memories with family, with brothers, with sisters, with moms, girlfriends, boyfriends. Like, there's something special about Final Fantasy in that way that it helps people connect. So check that out.
A lot of sharing the hype lately, and I love it.
Oh my God. Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Bless. We've played Final Fantasy 16.
Yep.
We've beat Final Fantasy 16. We now get to spend the next week watching people play through it on Twitch, and we get to see their reactions to what we've seen.
Oh, yeah.
What we know is coming.
My favorite has been seeing all the Cid thirst, and I'm like, man, I was there, man.
You were there.
You know, we were there. I remember my first time seeing Cid and being like, oh, I know what's about to happen with this character.
Yeah, I see Cid, I'm like, I am parched. All right?
Goodness.
goodness.
What Kevin, a man.
What a man. A new PS I Love You XOs. I already said that. What I didn't say is right after this and after the post show, Blessing will be joining the stream team to play Mortal Kombat 1.
Yeah.
That's pretty damn cool.
There's an online stress test going on right now to where they're stressing all the servers or testing all the servers and making sure all that stuff works. And to do that, they get codes into people's hands. And so we got hit up with a code and it's free for content creation, right? Mm-hmm. Like we can make whatever we want with the code. And that goes up until like, or goes on until Monday. And so we're taking the time this afternoon. I'm grabbing the sticks. I'm sitting down with Mike, Andy, and Nick, and we're playing some Mortal Kombat 1.
Fuck them up.
Oh my God. Well, I don't know what features are in there because I don't know if it's, because obviously online is in there. I don't know if local is available. Mm-hmm. If it is, oh yeah, we're for sure going to throw down. But even if it's online, you know, I'm sure Nick will hop in there and get his ass beat.
Yeah, dude.
Just destroyed, torn to shreds.
Thank you to our Patreon producers, Casey Andrew, Delaney Twining, and James Hastings. Today we're brought to you by BetterHelp. But we will tell you about that later. MS Campo says, did Bless intentionally wear a Tails colored hoodie today since Tim's in Sonic Blue?
Oh, look at wow. us. Right yeah, now. We do look like Sonic and Tails. Oh, man.
Oh, I love that.
I'll take
that.
It. I'll accept it.
Yeah, that's fantastic, man. Yeah, we're brought to you by BetterHelp. We'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. We have six stories today.
Baker's Dozen. Sorry, Bless, I don't have it in my voice today,
I'm still thrown off right now.
Yeah, just, by the Crush 40.
Yeah, like, how the fuck did that just happen, man?
Do you remember in Sonic Prime where there's a character named Nines,
mm-hmm.
and that was such a cool introduction for a character.
Mm-hmm.
I love that character so much.
Mm-hmm.
Go watch Sonic Prime.
Yeah, yeah. We saw a little bit of the teaser from the new one today. We'll talk about that later. First, we got to talk about story number one: E3 2024 and 2025 are canceled, according to Los Angeles Tourism Board. The ESA says no final decision yet, though. This comes from George Yang at IGN. E3 2024 and 5 have been canceled. At a meeting on June 21st, 2023, the board presented a packet with updated information surrounding the tourism business in LA. On page 21, there's a chart that shows the city's convention sales for the fiscal year 2022-2023. Under the heading, quote, booked room nights produced, there's an asterisk that notes includes E3 cancellations for 2024 and 5 at the bottom right. In a statement to Axios reporter Stephen Totillo, an ESA representative said that E3 2024's fate is still to be determined. Quote, ESA is currently in conversation with ESA members and other stakeholders about 2024 and beyond, and no final decisions about the events have been made at this time. 2023 was canceled earlier this year, and ESA didn't confirm whether the event would be returning in the following years. 2024 and 5 were scheduled for June 11th and 3rd, respectively. It's unclear whether they will ultimately go through as planned or if they will move to another city entirely.
Is there a chance they move to another city entirely?
There is a chance.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's slim, but yeah. I do think there's a chance. It has happened before. You know, when people look back at the history of E3, it's changed. It's had many forms over the years. And I feel like what we all, the people listening to this and the people at this table right now talking about it, when we think of E3, we're really thinking about what? 2005 on?
Yeah.
Because that's when video live streaming really started happening. And that's when E3 started meaning more to us than just, oh, people got to go there and we read about it in a magazine, right? I feel like that is when E3 became, and maybe even a little before that, because there was the blogs, the live blogs of just text popping up of like IGN reporters, the Fran Mirabellas of the world, being in the room at the Nintendo conference, updating like, this just happened. Well, that just happened.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean? And we'd be like refreshing, F5ing that shit. And then that's what E3 means to us. But there was a couple years where there was one that was in Atlanta. There was one that was in, I want to say, Santa Monica, 2009, I think it was. There was a much more scaled down E3. Then we got to the ones that were a bit more like the Kind of Funny, like my and Greg and them's modern IGN times of E3, of what we really think of it as being. And then the last couple years were the transition to the public E3. The transition of, oh, Sony's dropped out. What does that mean? Oh, they've dropped out. What the fuck even is this anymore?
Mm.
So anything could happen because E3 isn't anything right now. Like, not only was it canceled this year, I feel like the identity of E3 hasn't been consistent enough year to year in the last half decade to really be able to look at a pattern and be like, oh, I expect this to happen. The easiest pattern would be, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah. The every year for the last maybe forever, but definitely the last few years, there's always been a KFGD episode titled "Is E3 Dead?" or "Is E3 Finally Dead?" Right? There's always some kind of version of that title as we talk about E3 getting canceled, E3 going digital only, E3 trying these different things, and those things seemingly not sticking. Right? And I had a struggle to not call this episode "Is E3 Finally Dead?" But I mean, I think the question stands of, I don't see E3 happening next year, and based on this report, right, even the year after, and that's for a multitude of reasons. I think this is another continued, all right, cool, if it's not happening in LA, is it happening, period? Because, you know, you mentioned the ones that have happened elsewhere. Were those ones successful? I feel like I've heard people talk about the Atlanta one all the time in not positive ways, right? I feel like that one gets made fun of for how non-E3 that E3 was.
I think the Santa Monica one does.
Okay, maybe Atlanta, I'm thinking of Santa Monica.
The Atlanta one was a real E3. It was just a different time. Like,
gotcha.
I want to look that up because I feel like the Atlanta one was like a long time ago, which I'm talking about. Gotcha. I think it was okay. Even in a pre-modern what I was talking about, E3 landscape. Yeah. But yeah, the Santa Monica one was weird. Like, I wasn't there, but my first E3 was 2010, I want to say. So it was like the return to the convention center. And I remember hearing the veterans of IGN talking about their experience and like oh yeah, last year's was like not it, like it's so good to be back and like really have this kind of feel like the real experience.
And I think on top of that, you look at the ESA and how it seems like they've been struggling to figure out what E3 is.
Paris, of course, comes in with Atlanta was 95.
Oh, so gotcha. Yeah, so I'm thinking of Santa time. Monica,
and then Santa Monica 2007. So gotcha. I was off by a couple years there,
but yeah, like I think on top of that, right, like the Santa Monica one being a weird one, right, and like E3 being so solidified as, okay, it's at the LA Convention Center. It is this big thing that is in the central location because the games industry is in places like LA, San Francisco, but like LA is this great central point for people to converge and talk about all these things and do all the things you need to do at E3. ESA has been struggling so hard figuring out what the identity of E3 is, so much so that E3 this year was canceled, not because of COVID, right, but because we just couldn't figure this shit out, right? Ubisoft pulled out. We couldn't get other big companies in. What is the point of this? Like, what is the return here? We got to cancel it and figure it out another time, right? And another time seems like it just won't come because, you know, you're not figuring out this year. What is there to figure out next year? What is there to figure out in the future in terms of what E3's place in the industry is when you have Summer Game Fest, when you have digital streaming for announcing stuff, when you have all these other options as big companies and publishers and studios to do things in ways that save more money or ways that just make more sense when you have Keely events happening throughout the year as opposed to everything being centralized in June.
Yeah, there's so many interesting points to break down there. I do think one thing is Ubisoft didn't pull out. Ubisoft was one of the ones that committed to E3. Mm. Remember? And they were like, if E3 happens, we're there.
But like, I think they committed. But I think they committed and then they pulled out.
But didn't they only pull out because E3 wasn't happening?
I could have sworn it was the other way around, but that's the kind of funny.com.
Yeah, like let's get
I think it. They happen close to but close
even,
to each other.
But though. Even then, though, I do think that it came. They were committing. Like, remember, Eves had that quote of saying, like, if it happens, be there. And that was like a weird thing to say. I do think that whether or not the timeline of how they announced it was out there, I think the realities behind the scenes were they committed to E3.
Mm-hmm.
And it just got to a point that, like, yo, this isn't happening. Like, and you can kind of see that even in what ended up happening with Ubisoft. Ubisoft having its live show was a bizarre decision.
Yeah.
Just period. Like, no matter how you shake it, that felt out of time and out of place.
That felt like a result of them
preparing
to
be part of this thing that ended up not happening.
Yeah, and if that's what E3 is, E3 doesn't have a place, right? Because that kind of conference doesn't have a place. Like, that's the thing is the industry has evolved so much in marketing and all this stuff that I can't visualize what an E3 is even in the future, right? Even in the coming years, you have to shift all the way to being something like a PAX or being something like a fully audience-facing thing. And we already have those, you know, it's called PAX, right? Like if we already have a Summer Game Fest now for this way better and way more malleable and way more focused and condensed way to announce games, right? In a way that, you know, I think understands video game marketing more because Jeff Keighley understands how that stuff goes, right? Jeff Keighley is working with the right people and he is forming an event and forming a family of events, right? When you're talking about that Opening Night Live Game Awards, he is forming this system that works way better for how the games industry works right now. What is E3? Like, what can that even be anymore?
You know, a point that I think is not made enough in the conversations of Summer Game Fest and E3 is that Summer Game Fest is not the E3 replacement. It's the Judges Week replacement.
Mm-hmm.
Judges Week is now just getting a much more prominent focus where it's media coming, a small group of media coming to play a bunch of games, and then they judge them on which is the winner of this thing. And the level of games you're getting there are not going to be Sony first-party things. They're not going to be Nintendo games. They're going to be Sonic games. They're going to be Alan Wake and Mortal Kombat. Mm. Big games, but those are more on that the multi-plat level, and not all of those are. But, like, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, there's just, like, a type of games that have been at Judges Week and not the type of things that you expect to be announced at an E3 or whatever. I think Jeff very wisely has also introduced the Kickoff Live showcase to have a place for announcements to kind of replicate what the audience thinks of E3 being, which is the press conferences, not the actual show floor stuff that has pretty much, no matter what way you look at it, only gotten worse over the years.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of access, in terms of what's actually there, in terms of the quality of the experience of it all. You bringing up the PAX side of things, I think, is really interesting. There is a place for gaming communities to gather.
Yeah.
It is riveting. Like, being there, there's an energy and there's a love. I think that even that market, though, kind of got too big and burst in 2016 or so, when there was 5 RTXs and 6 PAXs and all of it, where it's like, this is just too much. There needs to be kind of a focus on making each one of these events kind of stand out and be their own thing. And then you kind of see, in the same way that, like, Nintendo Directs came out, and then over time, because of a bunch of reasons, everyone started doing their own digital showcases like that. We're now seeing people do their own live events. PSX was a major win.
Yeah.
Because there's a focus, and because they have access. They can control what they want, and they have access to all the things the people that are going to be there actually want to see.
Yeah, and they don't need E3 for that, is the thing, right? I think that's the point here. When we're talking about Summer Game Fest being the E3 Judges Week replacement, mm-hmm. right? That's just another utility being taken away from what E3 brings to the table, right? When you talk about that utility being taken away, and then, yeah, the PlayStations of the world being like, we can just throw our own showcase whenever we want, and we don't have to, like, give people all of our games to play at the same event, right? We can control that. Like, I'm sure Spider-Man 2 might have a preview, might not, right, for press hands-on. If that does, PlayStation can make that happen whenever, right? Yeah. PlayStation can call up the outlets they want and go, hey, show up at this location, play this game for whatever our demo is, and then go home and write about it at embargo. And you don't need E3 for that, right?
Totally. They're going to do that. Yeah. If it was a different time and E3 still existed, we wouldn't have gotten hands-on with Spider-Man 2.
Mm-hmm.
We would have went behind closed doors and been able to see a slightly extended demo.
Yeah,
that's just how they do things like that.
Yeah, and now the options are open, right? You talk about that. You talk about the digital demos as well, where people can do that over Discord if they want. The thing you just described, right? The behind closed doors. Now it is behind closed voice channel.
Mm-hmm.
But you hop into, like, a developer's or the studio's Discord and watch a presentation via Discord. That can happen, and that can happen so easily without E3. And that is way more money saved. That is way less effort, and that is probably easier for all parties involved, because we don't have to take a day off making content, right? We can schedule that in, and it takes 30 minutes to an hour to watch a presentation and then maybe get a preview build.
And on top of that, there's, I think, a very important conversation about access with all of this stuff and about smaller outlets and all that. It's a lot easier for people to jump into a Discord from anywhere they are on the planet to be able to get this, as opposed to, hey, we need to disrupt our lives and fly, for us,
yeah,
a 50-minute that might be a 5-hour flight down to L.A., but for other people, that's not the case.
Yeah.
It's disruptive to have to fly to London to do a demo for a game. It's cool, and there's a lot of perks there. There's a lot of downsides. And I think that everyone's realizing, yo, it's better for everybody to do it in different ways. It's a little less exciting, right? But mm-hmm. I also think, when you look back at the realities of things, E3 hasn't been exciting, the convention itself, in a long, long time.
So from this Steven Sotillo tweet here, right, him saying that this is a quote from an ESA representative. ESA is currently in conversation with ESA members and other stakeholders about E3 2024 and beyond, and no final decisions about the events have been made at this time. Is E3 done? Like, is it? Can we pack it up?
I don't think it is. I mean, look, E3 as a brand with that logo, I don't think is done. I think it's done. E3, what you remember E3 being, what we all want E3 to be, yes, that is done. I think it's been done. And mm-hmm. I think that every single sign shows that that ain't coming back, nor can it.
Yeah.
I don't. Should it? I think that's a different question.
But what do they do with that brand and that logo and what E3 is?
Who knows? Who knows? I honestly, I think that what they did the year Greg hosted was a cool step forward. Very not perfect. But, like, hey, we're actually going to try to just put on a live show, which, mind you, Keeley's done for years with YouTube, right? What IGN's done for years, GameSpot's done for years on their channels of, hey, it's this E3 time. We're going to do front-to-back demos. We're going to like react to the conferences. The industry has changed. People don't just want to watch the conferences. They want to hear people give thoughts on the conferences. Like, think about it. Like, back in the day, IGN did not talk over their conferences. They just showed them. Now, people talk over conferences. People want that. You can always go back and watch it separately. Both are available. I think just the way people want this information, expect the information, has totally changed. But what hasn't changed is the value of devs being able to sit down and do an interview or a demo and talk about their game for 30 minutes. And that's why you continue to see what Keeley did with YouTube back in the day, what IGN does, GameSpot, what I wish we could do. We just don't have the means or resources or time, but we did it for GDC because GDC is here and we were able to bring the indie devs in and every 30 minutes cycle people in and out. There's so much value to that experience, right?
Mm-hmm. For me, I look at E3 in a similar way that I look at THQ now, where THQ during, you know, PS2 era, around that time, everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. And like, they're doing their thing. They're making a billion games. They are occupying this like AA space, right? But they're dominating in that space, right? And we knew that name THQ. The industry changed and games got really expensive to make and other people made better games, right? And smaller developers were making smaller games and THQ kind of just got pushed out because that stopped working for them, right? They couldn't continue to occupy that space because that space became less viable. They went away, and then all of a sudden, like, THQ Nordic rises up from the ashes and is this weird thing that just exists. And we look at it and you're like, oh man, that's weird. I think E3 is going to become the same thing, where E3 might go away for a little bit and then come back, and it's just this thing we look at and we're like, oh yeah, I remember E3. Now it's E3 Nordic, and it's like doing its own thing and trying to exist and making weird business decisions. Like, I think that's kind of what E3 is going to be. Is it's just going to exist in the ether until it just stops existing, and maybe comes back again over the years. But I can't think of a way E3 comes back where it's dominant again, right? And that is what the ESA wants. I think it's tough for me to think that they would go from being the central place where all these announcements and conferences are happening, where Spike TV is covering it, where that is the Electronic Entertainment Expo, we hold it up to such a high regard, from going to that, then pivoting to something that would be a smaller slice of the pie, right? Which could be streaming and could be the E3 that we saw a couple years ago with Greg and Golden Boy and Michael Hyman and all that stuff, right? That I think that would be a good pivot because I think that was good content and I think that was engaging content, but that wasn't as big as what E3 has been, and I don't think they would be satisfied with that. I think it's all or nothing for them, and I don't know. Like, I don't know what that means for them trying to come back and, you know, thrive and be bigger than ever. I don't think that can happen.
For the thousands of people watching this, that's the best analogy you're going to hear all fucking year. E3 Nordic.
E3 Nordic.
E3 Nordic. You know what? I'm feeling a high right now.
Yeah?
Starting a show with Crush 40. Getting in the middle of the show, having blessed, dropping some fire. But you know what? I need a little break. So we're going to cut to some ads. Story number two, Sonic Frontiers Birthday Bash DLC adds a new game plus mode today. This comes from Tom Ivan at VGC. Sega is launching the second free DLC update for Sonic Frontiers today. The game's Birthday Bash update was revealed during a Sonic Central presentation on Friday. Sega said celebrate Sonic's birthday on the festively decorated Starfall Islands. Spin dash your way to the party with new challenges, moves, collectible Coco, and new game plus. It's the second of three free Sonic Frontiers updates planned for 2023. Today's Sonic Central Showcase, which you can watch now, coincided with the release of Sonic Origins Plus, an expansion pack for Sonic Origins, which includes all 12 Sonic titles released for the Game Gear. The presentation was also used to show off more of Sonic Superstars, the new 2D Sonic Hedgehog game Sega announced this month. They also talked about a bazillion and a half.
How'd you like that Sonic Central stream?
I mean, it was exactly what we expected and needed to be. I mean, like, it was we knew that there wasn't going to be a game announcement because they just announced Sonic Superstars at Game Fest. So I wasn't expecting a Sonic Adventure remake or anything like that. That's just not, they would have done that a couple weeks ago. So I feel like this was a great job of just, hey, we're just celebrating Sonic. There's going to be a bunch of announcements and some of the stuff is not going to be news. It's just going to be, here's all the Sonic things that are happening this year in one place. And I think they did a great job with that. And I think that we have Origins coming out, which Origins Plus, which, like, there's a lot of debate about the quality of this one, but there's a lot of goodness, a lot of things about it. Mm. But it's out now. They want to talk about that. And then Sonic Frontiers DLC, showing off that stuff, like, that seemed cool. Like, I wasn't a big Frontiers guy, yeah. So, like, that's not going to get me back in.
I was, and I don't know if I'm going to go back in, right? Like, I think I'll be back in for a big new story thing. I could see myself enjoying that, but yeah, that's not the kind of game that I come back to over and over again throughout the year, right? That was kind of a one and done for me, but I still love that they're updating it. I love that Sonic is the kind of brand where there's enough different Sonic things that there are updates and actual updates to give, right? It's not to throw shade at Capcom out of nowhere, but it's not like the Capcom showcase where it's, oh yeah, here's a trailer for a thing you've seen already. All right, here's, rewatch this trailer for this game that we just, like, it was a lot of just retreads and re-announcing things. Sonic Central had a lot of new Sonic content in it, right? And that's just one franchise that they have so much to talk about, whether it's a new clip to see from Sonic Prime, whether it's the Lego integration into Sonic Superstars, whether it's just Sonic Lego stuff in general, and them showing the new Eggman thing that they're doing, that I don't know how serious they are about it.
Yeah, that was a weird thing, but what's fun is Sonic can be self-aware and laugh at itself. And I feel like they did a good job with the Lego side, because, like, I don't know if people out there know this, but, like, there's been a lot of video game Lego collaborations recently, like Mario and Sonic being examples. And people are kind of upset with some of the decisions because they're not traditional Legos. Like, there's not minifigures. They're like they're just weird. Like, it looks like off-brand Lego. And that's a big choice for the Mario side. They're trying to, like, target a different audience. But the Dr. Robotnik, Eggman, Lego, people wanted a minifig, but instead they made, like, a, like, monstrosity. Sonic was a minifig, and this played on that. It was just like, hey, we know you want the minifig, you're getting the minifig. And then they kind of went hard making fun of themselves.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's Sonic the Hedgehog, everybody.
And I loved it, because it got really weird where Lego Dr. Robotnik started taking over, like, hacking the stream, and the voiceover person, like, appeared on video and is like, hey, what's going on, right? And literally, like, in the voice booth looks at the video and is like, you've not seen this guy. Like, it's not like it was being hosted by, like, a named person, right? He just happened to be the voiceover dude, and they put him in the video, integrate it in a fun way, and Dr. Robotnik takes over. It was a pretty fun stream to watch. I came out of it being like, oh, it was whatever, it was fine. Like, as you know, somebody who likes Sonic, when it ended, I was thinking that was going to end on, like, a one more thing, and I didn't need a new game or new thing crazy, but there was nothing in there where it was like, this is the big tentpole thing for the stream. But it was still fun. It was still a fun thing to
watch. I mean, for me, it's like, we got the orchestra dates and tour spots, which is, like, huge for us. Like, I'm very excited.
Did they announce anything about San Francisco? I wasn't able to.
January 6th.
Oh,
that's why I was saying.
Oh,
that.
Yeah, you did say that. Sorry.
Yeah. So that's happening, which I'm extremely excited about. It's coming to a whole bunch of different places, which is cool. But again, they delivered on the promise of, hey, more news coming soon, and then they gave us news in this. The one thing I was looking for is an actual release date for Superstars. It still just said fall 2023. So I was like, ah, damn it, a missed opportunity there. But shout out to Sonic Central for the presentation. We're always talking about, like, the pacing being off, or, like, just it not being right. For the lack of, like, big information in this, that was a fun 30-minute stream. I watched it, and the way that they're they have fun with themselves, and it's like, hey, here's a bunch of collaborations. There's this, and there's this, and there's this, and there's this, and they just get progressively more and more, like, who is asking for this?
Yeah. But,
like, it's funny.
Like, the Sonic cooler was the thing that killed me, where I'm like, who? Why? But also, I kind of want one. Like, I'll rock a Sonic cooler. Why not? Yeah. And there's so much of that stuff, and it goes back to the comparison I always make with Sonic the Hedgehog, and why I like Sonic the Hedgehog, is the fact that Sonic is my Hello Kitty, right? Sonic is my, like, it's not just the games, right? It is, I just like this little hedgehog, blue hedgehog. He's great. Like, you got on the bomber jacket with the Sonic logo on it, and it's fucking fresh.
Yeah, look at this. Look at the inside.
Sonic is about the vibes. Zone, baby. It's not about the quality of video game. If Sonic was about the quality of, sometimes every
the
now and
then. People
are
like,
is.
Sonic was never good, go fuck yourself.
No, Sonic has been good sometimes.
Yes. It's been good sometimes.
If Sonic was about the quality of video game alone, though, it'd be done. It'd be long
done. It'd be
done.
It'd be
done. Sonic is about so much more. It's about the
more,
vibes.
Man. God. Story number 3. Metal Gear Solid Master Collection Volume 2's games have reportedly leaked. This comes from Tom Ivan at VGC. The Metal Gear Solid Master Collection 2 lineup's reportedly leaked. Publisher Konami confirmed the full lineup of games included in Metal Gear Solid Master Collection Volume 1 on Wednesday, as well as its release date and the platforms it will be available on. Following the announcement, Twitter user Nitroid found that the Metal Gear Solid website has added buttons to its franchise timeline for the games included in Volume 1, plus placeholder buttons for Metal Gear Solid 4, Guns of the Patriots, Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain, and Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker. After this discovery, IGN reported to have heard that the three games are set to be included in MGS Master Collection Volume 2.
Heck yeah.
May MGS 4 rise from the prison of the PS3.
Let's go. I'm still happy this is happening because I was not confident that this is going to happen.
Me neither.
You know, on one of our streams, I think we mentioned that somebody asked, you know, what games would you think are going to be in Volume 2 if you don't think MGS 4 is going to be in there? And I was like, I don't think Volume 2 is going to come out. It's nice to see that even through leaks and through data mining, right, we come to figure out and we come to learn that Volume 2 is planned and it has the exact games that you want in there, right? Yeah, give me Peace Walker, give me MGS 5, and then yes, give me MGS 4, because it is ridiculous how that's been locked to the PS4 or PS3 actually for all this time, right? Unless you had PlayStation Now for PS4.
Yeah.
Unless, except for now, because they took it off. Fucked up. Like, what are they doing?
Video games, baby. Yeah, I'm right there with you, where I'm gonna be completely honest. Mm-hmm. I'm still not convinced we're getting a Volume 2. And I'm
fair enough.
Even if we do, I'm still not convinced that MGS4 is gonna be in it and work the way that we need and want it to. Mm-hmm. Like, will it still be cloud-based? Will it still have some, like, hey, the game's come here.
Could you imagine
asterisk.
If it was cloud-based?
I totally can. Just letting people know. Prepare yourselves for disappointment, and then hopefully we'll all be like, whoa. And let me tell you something, Bless. I think I could be wrong.
I hope you're wrong. Because I didn't even think about the idea that they could just give you a cloud version and just have it be the PS Now version.
Mario RPG's getting a remake. Anything can happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think it's gonna be that.
I don't either.
Because it's gonna come out. I mean, you would think that it comes out on all platforms, right? Mm-hmm. Because MGS1 Volume 1 is coming out for all platforms. And if that's the case, I don't think you can do that for Switch. Well, technically, you could do cloud stuff for Switch, and you could do cloud stuff for Xbox. Fuck!
Other companies have done that.
Chat, but it wouldn't be the PS Now version.
I'm going to need...
Oh, Jesus!
Hey, what's up, guys? The KevCam finally works again. Chat, I'm going to need y'all to edit the Bart Simpson meme where he goes, Lisa, you can see exactly where the moment his heart breaks with a blessing from like a minute and a half ago. Because when Tim brought up that idea,
the cloud,
it
yeah.
was so just like, oh...
Yeah, it sucks, but guys, take it in. It is,
can't
I think, a more likely reality
no.
than... I think it's more likely to be that than it, Metal Gear Solid 4 just actually coming out on other platforms.
No, absolutely not. I refuse.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people throw the word copium in chat. It always annoys me. This is copium for me, though. Like,
yeah.
I refuse. It can't be the cloud version.
Dude, and on top of that, trust me, I don't want that. Mm-hmm. I want to play Metal Gear Solid 4 on my PlayStation 5 so bad. I want to replay that game. I've never replayed that game since it first came out.
Really?
I've played moments and
I'm sure you watched the
stream. I've watched streams and all that stuff, but I love MGS4 and I can't wait to go back to Peru.
I wonder if I kept that doc because we were kind of doing our own like little mini interview at the end of each game of like Mike and I's like separate rankings and all that stuff. I think 4 was my favorite. No, 3 was my favorite. I think 4 was second favorite.
Yeah.
Four is like it's end game, right?
Yeah,
where
totally.
They so wrap good. Everything up and reference all the things and like give you all the feelings that you need. But it's like end game isn't necessarily like the best MCU movie from like a cohesiveness and like actually like telling like a solid story and all that stuff. But it's the most hype, right? And that's what MGS4 is. It's the most hype.
And I love that shit.
Yep.
More than anything, and God, MGS4 delivered. Story number 4: Guerrilla Games has memorialized Lance Reddick. In honor of Lance Reddick, we created a memorial to commemorate the profound impact he had on all of us. Thank you, Lance, for everything you brought to the role of Silence. Your gravitas, energy, wisdom, and more. An incomparable talent and friend. We miss you terribly. Very nice.
Yeah.
Very cool. I think this is the tasteful side of these type of things. And, you know, I just think it's cool that video games can do this, are doing this. And this is an unfortunate situation.
It breaks my heart every time I think about the fact that, yeah, like, one, that Lance Reddick passed away, right? But, like, also in the case of Guerrilla and Horizon, his character was so instrumental in that story and has such a presence in that story, and he plays that character so well. So, yeah, it makes so much sense that they'd want to memorialize him in some way, and I think, yeah, going about it this way and placing this this tribute to his character in the game, and not even his character, this tribute to him, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't say Silence.
Yeah.
It says Lance Reddick in the game. I think that's powerful.
It is powerful, and it's, you know, it's interesting when we talk about video games as a separate medium from movies or TV and just, like, how they're unique. And in so many ways, there's the similarities, and, like, we're getting this moment where we're getting amazingly talented actors like Lance joining video games and, like, I think even more so kind of legitimizing video games as a narrative structure in all those ways, and we've had that conversation a million times. But video games are ongoing and living and can be updated in ways that don't feel disrespectful. Mm-hmm. And whereas I feel like in movies and stuff, people get really upset about Hayden Christensen being in Star Wars in Return of the Jedi, like that type of stuff.
See the
like,
Spider-Verse updates? There
weren't updates.
Well, no, Across the Spider... Well, I saw the report saying like there's multiple versions of the movie. Yeah. I assume that was an update thing.
I don't think so.
You think they just put out multiple versions?
Yeah. That's how people noticed. It's, from the beginning, it's been that way. And now people are like, that's not what you said in my version. And then now people like went in and deep dove. And it was like, oh, yeah. But they did update the sound mix.
Yeah.
But,
and that's what I assumed that it was, oh, we're going to update the sound mix. And while we're here, let's just fix things that we thought were weird.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
God, I want to watch that movie one more time.
How many times have you watched it now?
I've only seen it twice.
I've only seen it once.
Yeah.
I had a second viewing planned. I forget what happened.
Yeah.
I think it just didn't go.
We're just in a big problem point right now, Bless, where there's too many movies coming out and there's only so many premium format screens, and it's just not worth watching these movies in non-premium format places. I'm putting my foot down.
Premium format.
So
like Dolby's, okay,
IMAX.
Saying is that our theater wasn't the only one that had like weird audio mixing at like the very beginning and stuff, right?
No, it was the game. Oh, or not the game. It was the movie.
Okay, cool. Because yeah, I thought I was going crazy not being able to understand the like intro VO and then the outro like kind of VO at the like very beginning and end. So that's nice.
Yeah,
I thought I was just like I had a moment where I was like, am I old? Am I old? Is this just too much for me now? But all right, cool. Good to know.
Story number five. Embracer Group paid $395 million for Lord of the Rings rights. This comes from KJ Yossman at Variety. In a surprise deal last summer, they finally revealed how much was paid, and it seems like they got a bargain. The Carlsbad-headquartered company has confirmed it spent SEK $4.2 billion, $395 million at today's conversion rates, to acquire Middle-earth Enterprises from the Saul Ziantis company last August. At the time the deal was announced, the Embracers and Saul declined to say how much Lord of the Rings holding company had sold for, but estimates at the time projected the rights, which include worldwide rights to films, video games, board games, merchandising, theme parks, and stage productions, were worth up to $2 billion. It turns out the reality fell significantly short of that. For contrast, Amazon's rumored to have paid $250 million alone for the rights to make the TV series The Rings of Power, which they snapped up directly from J.R.R. Tolkien's estate. The right to make a Lord of the Rings TV series longer than 8 episodes was one of the few interests in the franchise not owned by Saul. Amazon Games have also struck their own deal with Embracer to develop and publish a new massive multiplayer online game based on Lord of the Rings, so an MMO of LOTR. The sales figure for Middle Earth Enterprises was revealed today in Embracer's annual report, which comes just a week after the games group revealed an aggressive cost-cutting program, including layoffs, game studio closures, consolidations, and restructurings.
A sound business decision, I guess, from Embracer Group, being able to acquire Lord of the Rings for that low amount. It's fucking wild, and also like makes me wonder, like, what's the story there? Like, how are they able to get that price? Because that's ridiculous.
Know. There's just...
Like, I feel like me and the homies could have pulled together money to buy Lord of the Rings at that rate. Like, it's selling for that low? What the fuck? Who was in charge of that? Who is this Saul person?
Yeah, like, we could have gotten Greg to call somebody.
We could have pulled together that money to buy Lord of the Rings.
That would have been
Did they get it on Groupon?
Birthday present for Andy Cortez, you know?
That is... Yeah, happy birthday, Andy. Here's Lord of the Rings.
What's the coupon app that, like, sponsors us sometimes?
Honey.
Did they use Honey? They must have used Honey. They, like, saw it online. They're like, wait, let's see what Honey says. Ah, snap, that's a steal.
Oh, my God, that is so funny. I don't know. This is all weird, but again... The moment you bring Embracer into it, things get weird.
Things get really weird.
Things get real
but
weird.
But also, like, man, okay, so I'm trying to do the math in my head, right? Because they acquired for $395 million, and, like, what, Amazon is rumored to have paid $250 million alone for the TV series, right? But they got that directly from the J.R.R. Tolkien estate. I'm trying to think of, like, they must be making so much money off of Lord of the Rings. If they're spending that little for it, and they have all these rights for it, and they're able to make, like... For the this is my big question, right? Mm-hmm. And I asked this question when the news first came out, like a few weeks ago. But who the fuck did they mess up that deal with that like has them in shambles right now? Because they should be swimming in money based on getting Lord of the Rings for this low. Like printing money.
But you got to do the math on that, right? Like we're not there yet. Like that's why
sure.
When you read that article, the quotes are, yo, 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 we're shifting to Lord of the Rings. We got this shit. Fuck everything else.
Yeah.
Like, so I think that this actually paints that story. I mean, it's all dark and unfortunate in any way you shake it. But it makes more sense than even it did for us when we were first talking about it. It's like,
oh, them saying,
well, of course they're going to go for Lord of the Rings over other stuff.
What was the word? They got to not abuse Lord of the Rings. It was something like
ooh,
that.
Yeah,
though.
What was the word?
X something, right? We got to
exploit.
Explore. We got to exploit Lord of the Rings.
And like,
I get it now.
Now even more, it's like, oh, yo, we got to come up here. We could be making that money off of this shit.
Yeah.
And they're going to. Because, I mean, dude, $395 million, that's like, that is a, these days, poorly performing blockbuster movie.
Mm-hmm.
Flash.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, not quite, but it's around that. For all of Lord of the Rings, for the stage play.
Yeah, for pretty much all
you know
the
how
rights.
How much money's in stage plays?
All the rights except for, like, TV series, right? Because Amazon has that.
Well, just the 8-episode thing, right?
Yeah, like, so they can release something up episodes. To 7 episodes. Could you imagine?
Oh, man. Well, I'm sure this won't be the last we're talking about this. But story number 6, a Nintendo shareholder meeting was disrupted by a ranting Splatoon 3 fan.
Did you see the story?
Yes, I did.
Okay, yes, I'm excited for you to read this.
Chris Scullion at VGC, everybody. Strap in for some fun. Nintendo's annual shareholder meeting was reportedly disrupted by a fan who purchased shares specifically to rant at the company's president about Splatoon 3. As first reported by Twitter user NStyles, who attended the event, the meeting's Q&A session included someone loudly ranting about female characters' perceived preferential treatment in the third game when it comes to customization options. Reportedly, the fan was unhappy with the number of customization options available to male characters in Splatoon 3, including hairstyles and emotes, compared to those available to female characters. According to NStyles, the rant continued for some time, causing Nintendo president Shuntaro Fukuhara to interrupt the fan and tell him that his question was too long. This was reportedly ignored, and the fan's rant continued. Eventually, he stopped, and the president reportedly replied, quote, thank you for your interest in playing our game. We appreciate your valuable opinion. So I'm going to stop there before we continue with the story, Bless.
Yeah.
That alone is just like, so many eye rolls.
Yeah.
Eye rolls and eye rolls and eye rolls. We've all been there. We've been to conventions.
Mm-hmm.
There's a panel.
Yeah.
Get to the Q&A section.
Is this an out-of-season April Fool's joke?
Yeah.
People just come up and just ask the dumbest fucking shit.
Mm-hmm. There's always got to be that guy.
There's always that guy.
Yeah.
I don't think Nintendo expected that guy in one of their shareholders meetings.
Well, because
right?
Why would you?
Why would you? And how could that guy how get
he,
there?
Who let
how
him in?
How could he possibly do it? Following the event, a Twitter user identified themselves as the person who asked the question. According to the user, they specifically bought $3,570 in Nintendo shares so they could attend the shareholder meeting and share their complaint. They then shared photos of numerous letters they had sent to Nintendo about the topic previously, claiming they got no response, so they decided to buy shares in the company to get a chance to raise the issue directly. According to the user, they even bought and resold items such as the Nintendo Switch OLED console in order to raise funds for shares, despite their parents telling them to, quote, not get involved.
All right, here's my first takeaway.
Mm-hmm.
Men would rather pay $4,000 to complain about video games then go to therapy.
Showing the full written question, which appears to be extremely lengthy, they wrote, quote, at the Nintendo shareholders meeting, I complained about the current cold treatment of Splatoon boys.
I'm out of here.
God damn it! God fucking damn it! I hate you! Don't call them Splatoon boys! Don't even do that! Quote, halfway through, I was told there are other people who want to ask. So the second half took a lot longer than planned, but I managed to tell them. The incident echoes a similar, though seemingly less intense, moment in last year's shareholder meeting when a Nintendo shareholder took the opportunity to ask Nintendo to release a new F-Zero game.
What's going on in these shareholder meetings? Y'all gotta vet the... First of all, y'all gotta raise the prices of these shares, apparently, because... God dang, like gamers are out here and they deserve less. Like you're telling me that you had the ability to raise $3,570 to go to a shareholder meeting to basically get your YouTube comment like heard directly by Shuntaro Furukawa, the Nintendo president. Like
go to therapy.
You could have just kept that up, kept flipping the switches.
You could have sent the letter.
Bought Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, like exactly. You could have bought the rights to Lord of the Rings, except if you wanted to make like a television series that was more than 8 episodes. That's wild you were able to raise that much money.
Slacks in the chat and puts it best. This sounds like a Tim Robinson skit.
Oh my lord. Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah. This really does sound like a Tim Robinson skit. Oh man. Well, I really want to know. I don't wish I could be in that shareholders meeting, because like I'm sure the feeling of like skin crawling of, oh, who is this guy? Why does he keep going? Like, this is so awkward. I'm sure that feeling was palpable in the air. But I would love to watch the video. I'd love to watch the playback.
Man, bless. If this guy will ever get his Splatoon boys drip the way he wants it, I don't know. It's so far away. But if I want to know what's coming to Mom and Pop Shop today, where would I look?
You'd look toward the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah.
We even talk about the Splatoon boy fashion. That is why you're here. Like,
I'm heated right now.
At least talk about like the controller drift, or like, I don't know,
or
man.
The lack of F-Zero, you know,
or the lack of F-Zero. What is going on with Metroid Prime 4? These are questions we want answers to. You're mad about the Splatoon boy fashion? It's not even what the game is. Like, it's a PvP shooting game where you shoot paint and try to get more of the area than the opposite team. Why are you worried about the customizable features of your Splatoon boy? Ask questions that matter. You were in front of Shuntaro Furukawa. Like, ask him where the Switch Pro is. Ask him what's going on. Yeah, ask about Mother 3. Ask about, like, you know, when is the next fucking, like, what was
when
that?
Are we bringing Wind Waker to Switch? Like,
where?
Anything.
Star Fox Grand Prix, what's up with that? You know what I mean? Is the Mario team really making a Donkey Kong? These are questions to ask.
Out today, Sonic Origins Plus on literally everything. Everdream Valley on Switch. Fire Emblem, The Blazing Blade comes to Nintendo Switch Online. We had this conversation last week, right? Where I was saying, like, I didn't play this one, or I played a little, whatever, I didn't get it. And I was like, Roy, it's Roy's game. And someone was like, it's actually Roy's dad. Right? Was on the episode with you for this? I think I was.
Possibly.
I've been seeing people tweet about this game with the box art, because like Nintendo tweeted it yesterday. Mm-hmm. Are you really telling me that's not Roy? Like, I feel like I'm getting gaslit.
Hold on. Now I gotta see this.
Like, Barrett, can you please bring up Fire Emblem the Blazing Blade?
I'm looking for it right now. It's the Game Boy Advance game?
Yeah, yeah. Everyone's saying it's Elwood, which is Roy's dad. So that's Roy's dad. That's not Roy.
Huh. That's not on you. I would have assumed that was Roy.
It's so funny to me. Every time I see it, I feel like this can't be right. But I believe you. I know that it is right.
Listen, this is like when the Dragon Ball Z, I forget the name of the artist, but like the, you know, very famous artist that did Dragon Ball Z. If you erase the hair from all the characters, this is the exact same character model.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like that situation.
Similar to Simpsons, too. A lot of similar character models there.
Toriyama. Thank you, chat. Toriyama. And that doesn't even just go for Dragon Ball Z. That goes for all of his art. Mm-hmm. You erase the hair off of a Dragon
Warrior.
Yeah, Dragon Quest character. That's just Goku. This is bald Goku. All of them look like Krillin.
Oh, man. Sky Caravan's coming to Switch. Swoon, Earth Escape's coming to PS4 and PS5. New dates for you. Cry Machina launches October 24th in North America on Switch, PS4, 5, and PC. And Activision will shut down the first Call of Duty Warzone on September 21st. Real quick, Mike, does that matter?
No.
No, it doesn't matter, everybody. Deals of the day. Remember, you can get 20% off your order from RT Store merch with the code Jabroni. You can go to store.roosterteeth.com. Look for Kinda Funny stuff. Use the code Jabroni, J-A-B-R-O-N-I, and you get 20% off. That sounds really cool, really fun for everybody. Let's do a real quick reader, man.
Let's do it.
You want to do
that? We got some fun ones.
Kebabs writes in and says, what's up, KFGD crew? My question is a classic. How would you rank this year's key three showcases? Mine are Xbox, Summer Game Fest, Nintendo, PlayStation, Ubisoft, Capcom. My ranking is judged not just on the content, but the presentation of it, which is why Ubisoft's so low, despite containing some great titles like Prince and Outlaws. Do you guys agree, or would you swap some of them around?
My list would be, Xbox first, SGF under that. Then it gets between Nintendo and PlayStation for me. I might put Nintendo above PlayStation because I think Nintendo lived up to my expectations more. And I would have to, I think I need to go back and look through like all the things announced at PlayStation, because I feel like people give PlayStation too much flack because they disappointed, right? But I don't think it was a bad showcase. I think it was just very fine and okay. But I'm going to put Nintendo above PlayStation. And then, yeah, Nintendo, then PlayStation, then Ubisoft, then Capcom.
Yeah, so you're exactly with Kebabs. And I think I'm there too. I feel like there's a couple debatable things of PlayStation, Ubisoft. Like, PlayStation missed the mark in terms of expectations, but they had Spider-Man. And there were still things that I'm like really excited about. Ubisoft absolutely shit the bed in terms of presentation, but they had real big banger games. So those are a little bit more equal to me. I think at the end of the day, I'm so upset at how Ubisoft presented, but I'm more disappointed in how PlayStation Showcase tarnished the name of a PlayStation Showcase.
That's the thing is, yes. Like, Ubisoft, I think when you look at the content, if you read that content on the list, it's like, okay, yeah, that was a pretty good showing, but the way they presented that stuff, I think, really was bad. But then with the PlayStation Showcase, we got Metal Gear Solid Delta Snake Eater, right? Like, how cool is that, right? You go through and you get...
Yeah, you're right. PlayStation's first.
Yeah.
Above UB.
Above UB, yeah. Like, you get Marathon, of course. You get another Street Fighter trailer. You get a Destiny trailer. And then looking through, you got Spider-Man 2, right? And then, yeah, Fair Games. Helldivers 2, like, that's exciting for, like, a group of people, right? And I think that game's going to come out and do pretty good. But Concord, Alan Wake 2 had a pretty dope trailer at PlayStation Showcase.
Fantastic one,
yeah. A really good trailer. Dragon's Dogma 2 got gameplay. We saw Assassin's Creed Mirage. Got Final Fantasy 16, another trailer. Foam Stars was there.
Here's what I'll say.
Yeah.
More than any of this, like this is a great question. We had a fun time talking about it. I think that this, overall, the games announced this year are incredible.
Yes.
I feel like from a game announcement perspective, now that Summer Game Fest season is complete, this was a great one in terms of announcements. I think most of our upset, disappointments, all that stuff is in terms of presentation, expectations, and a lot of questions not being answered. But those questions will be answered. It's not like all the things we expected to see at the PlayStation Showcase aren't eventually going to come. And they're going to have to come sooner than later.
Yeah.
So,
I think on a... like, if we weren't judging by, like, presentation and all that stuff, right? Like, on a content side, I don't think there was anything... Well, if I don't cut the Capcom Showcase, I don't think there was anything lower than a 3. And maybe I could make the argument for even a 4. But I think, 3 and above is when you get into the presentation where it's like, okay, there might be a 1 or 2 twos in there. But I think, there's some really exciting games. I'm very excited for the rest of the year in games. It might be the best year in games ever. And even next year now, we got a bit better view of what 2024 looks like. And that's going to include a Star Wars game from Ubisoft that I couldn't be more excited for.
I'm saying this
and
right now.
And a peach game.
And a peach game.
I think this is already the best year in games, and I think that I can definitively say that at this
point. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Fight me, everybody. Or more than fight me. Give me some solid evidence against that case.
Let me compile my argument for 2017.
Yeah.
And then we'll make it back. But I think there's a good chance that by the time we get to the end of this year that, it'll be better.
You can go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong to let us know what we got wrong today. Nano says E3 2007 was Santa Monica, not 2009, which I already know. 97, 98 were Atlanta, so not 95. 97, 98.
Let's go back to Atlanta.
I'd be down to go back to Atlanta.
Yeah, I've been to Atlanta.
I've only been there once.
Yeah.
From MomoCon.
Oh, is that in Atlanta?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I'm
a big fan of the Housewives of Atlanta, so maybe I'll meet them.
Run to the
best man,
the local schnooks.
What
schnooks?
I don't know.
You don't know schnooks? It's that might be a very Midwestern thing. It's like a grocery store.
Yeah.
They probably don't have it in Atlanta. Schnooks?
Schnooks? No, I don't know schnooks. We have Giant Eagle.
Okay, you made that up.
Eagle.
Giant Eagle, man.
Giant Eagle
in Ohio? Yeah, man.
Huh. Look it up. You have Aldi?
Huh.
Aldi, yes.
Gotcha. Let's say Aldi. I feel like that's a universal one.
Mike Yo says UB pulled out of E3 March 27th. E3 was canceled March 30th. Yeah, my point that I'm making is like those days behind the scenes, they pulled out because it wasn't happening.
Gotcha. See, I view it the opposite way. I think E3 is like immediate. I'm sure those discussions happened before these dates, but I think Ubisoft was probably the last straw.
I the fact that Eves had that quote saying that we're there if it happens. To me, says that this is just the behind the scenes announcements of it that of those conversations happen. He wouldn't have said that if they were planning to pull out.
Yeah, so that makes sense.
Kevin
L. Meyer.
Kevin L. has a very important thing: a release submission. The final episodes of Pokemon Ultimate Journeys is now on Netflix. This is the English version of Ash winning the tournament. So
oh, shit.
Y'all should check it out, man. If you have not watched Pokemon since whatever the hell you gave up on it, I would highly recommend watching the 4-episode final battle between Leon and Ash. Like, just watching that 4 episodes, it's all the one battle. Very, very cool.
Bear, do you want to have a viewing party?
Maybe.
Right. Maybe. Might get that on the books. We're doing a live watch along.
I watched it on this big screen behind you.
Ooh, that'd be sick, actually.
Yeah, that's it. Otherwise, we absolutely crushed that shit. That was Games Daily. What a ride.
Yeah. I feel honestly, I'm putting this up there. I think this is one of the best episodes.
I think so,
one of the best years in gaming, one of the best episodes of Game of GD.
Yeah, we're just crushing it, bless.
Yeah, crush 40.
You put us together at this desk, yeah. Magic's going to happen.
Magic is going to happen.
Give us some video game news to talk about. Guess what? We're going to talk
about it. It's going to get talked about.
It's going to get talked about. Let's go. Next week's hosts are Greg and Bless. Tuesday, Greg and Bless. Wednesday, Bless and Greg.
Hey.
Thursday, Greg and Tim. And Friday, Greg and Bless. I'm only on one Games Daily that week. That seems wrong.
I think you took yourself off of something.
Oh, because it's my birthday next Friday. We're about to do a banger stream, and I'm going to be doing that all day. That's going to be
Some time off, Tim.
I'm going to take some. I'm taking Monday off.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Go hang out. Yeah. Relax.
Well, I'm taking Monday off because the concert's on Sunday night. I was like, I couldn't get back here if I wanted to.
Well, treat yourself Monday.
Thank you.
Go
I'm
to a spa.
I'm going to go to a Vanderpump restaurant. If you're watching live, Snowbike Mike's about to join us. We're going to talk about Super Chats. Remember, if you're on YouTube, you can Super Chat us with your questions about any of the news stories we had today, video games in general, or anything you want to ask me, Mike, or Bless, and we will answer it. If you're on Twitch, you can do the exact same thing by resubbing and just leaving a little message, and Mike will read that question to us as well. We like to be equal opportunists in ways to make us money. Right, Mike? That's the correct answer, everybody. Love you all. Until next time, have a marvelous day. Wrong outro.
Game day.